And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Alaska is home to more than 20 Alaska Native languages, passed down and preserved for thousands of years. But over the last century, the number of fluent speakers has declined as a result of colonization. Now, one woman in Nome is using social media as a tool to teach the Inupiaq language. KNOM's Ava White has the story.
Gail Smith Heisler runs a Facebook page called Inupiaq Word of the Day. She posts daily videos of herself teaching the meaning, spelling, and provides a phonetic pronunciation of words and phrases from the language.
Good evening. How are you all doing? Today's Inupiaq Word of the Day is Keyumikdunga, which means I am strong.
The Inupiaq Word of the Day started in 2010 on Facebook, featuring community members sharing words and phrases in various Inupiaq dialects. Smith Heisler grew up hearing Inupiaq spoken by her grandparents and elders in Nome. After she began running the page in 2020, she decided to enroll in UAF's Introduction to the Inupiaq Language class at Nome's Northwest Campus.
Boy, that just fed my soul. I felt so full and happy. Like, after each class, I was, you know, very, like, mentally drained from trying to retain all the information, but I was so hungry to learn more, and I was like, this is what I needed.
Inupiaq is spoken by the indigenous peoples of northern Alaska and a small section of Canada. Along with other Alaska Native languages, Inupiaq is taught at the University of Alaska campuses across the state and even in immersive classrooms. Smith Heisler draws inspiration from elders and utilizes their knowledge of pronunciations for her videos. She considers her teacher, Josie, as her mentor.
The words that I post now, I make sure that, you know, they're translations that I got from Josie or from other elders that participated in class with us, or their words that I'm familiar with.
Smith Heisler created a TikTok account in 2020 and has since received tens of thousands of views and thousands of followers. She says TikTok is more popular among younger age demographics and can bridge the gap in language revitalization.
You know, the health of our language kind of depends on young people as well as our older people who are fluent, because our elders and our older people that are fluent, they're not going to be around forever.
Statistics gathered in a 2007 study by the Alaska Native Language Center at UAF revealed that only 13% of the Inupiaq population could speak the language. Over a decade later, that percentage has nearly doubled, according to a study from the National Park Service. And Smith Heisler hopes that percentage continues to grow.
If someone is correcting you, it's probably coming from a good place, even if the delivery is not the greatest. I've experienced that a lot myself, and I just have to, you know, not take it personally.
Smith Heisler taught a 3-day virtual workshop earlier this year to Bering Strait Native Corporation shareholders and descendants. The workshop was recorded and is available on YouTube.
Namarutin, which means you are enough. Namarutin.
For KNOM, I'm Ava White.
And fishing for salmon has always been a way of life on the Yukon River. But for the last 4 years, as runs have collapsed, managers have restricted most fishing for local communities. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George has been reporting on the salmon collapse this summer, and she has this story about what it means for one young person to miss out on the tradition.
In August, Mackenzie Englishu returned home to a place she's never actually lived.
Gwichaje means people of the flats, so welcome to the flats.
Gwichaje, also known as Fort Yukon, is a village of less than 500 people on the upper Yukon River. Kenzie is 20 years old, a student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Her mother is from Gwichaje, and it's clear how connected she is to this place.
Yeah, everybody waves here to each other. We're pretty much all family here.
Kenzie didn't actually grow up here. She grew up with her dad and brother near Chandelier Lake in the Brooks Range, and then lived in Fairbanks. But she visited the village regularly as a child, and it's where she feels most rooted. She's just decided to move here full time. She's staying with her uncle, Michael Peter.
Are you happy that Kenzie's back?
That depends.
Hey.
She came in yesterday, so ask me that by Friday.
For Kenzie, this move has been a long time coming. Like most of the village, Kenzie is Gwich'in, and growing up, she feels like she's missed out on being among her people.
I feel like I've been waiting my whole life to come back here and be in my community as much as I wanted to.
But Gwich'aje today is very different from the village she remembers visiting as a kid. Life here used to revolve around salmon. The first kings would arrive in late June, and chum would follow in late summer. But 4 years ago, both runs collapsed, and river managers have all but closed fishing ever since. Researchers say climate change is driving the collapse. Residents say it's made life here unrecognizable. Along the riverbank, it's quiet. Kenzie says that's not how it used to be.
Everybody would be going to the river and hopping on boat to go to fish camp, or visiting each other and giving fish to each other, smoking fish together.
Now on the riverbank, half a dozen fish wheels lay idle. Kenzie calls it the fish wheel graveyard.
So here's another fish wheel. You could tell they're getting kind of old and a little bit more fragile.
20 feet across, a fish wheel looks like a big windmill that scoops up fish as they swim upstream. Bees have been on shore so long, the wood is bleached, and they're overgrown with grass. Standing on one of the toppled wheels, Kenzie imagines what it was like to use them.
You would probably sit right here with one of those chairs, and you would just watch the nets catch the fish. And I bet my grandpa was just smiling, watching it, knowing that he's going to be supplied for the winter.
These fish are more than just food. They're culture and community. Kenzie's grandmother made sure she knew the taste of Gwich'aje salmon from a young age.
And she would give me this big bag of fish, and she sat in front of me, and she's like, eat all you want. And I would eat the whole bag, and I'm like, dang, it's out. And then she'd pull out another one.
But Kenzie wasn't around enough as a kid to fish salmon for herself. She never learned to use those fish wheels. And now that she's finally here full time, she's worried she never will.
It's hard, because I feel like I'm almost missing a part of myself.
Every generation of her family before her has fished on this river. And now it's her turn, and she can't. Her uncle, Michael Peter, says that experience, going to fish camp and building a connection to your family through salmon, is an essential part of passing on their culture.
You know, you take your kids out and teach them and show them what we're taught. We're taught how to cut and preserve and smoke fish.
Michael is second chief of Gwich'aje. And he worries that knowledge is getting lost for the next generation.
Do you worry about that for Kenzie?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, she's still learning to cut fish, too. I mean, you know, she hasn't really been to fish camp.
I wish I could go to fish camp.
I wish I could go to fish camp, Kenzie says. This loss has fueled Kenzie's sense of purpose. She feels a responsibility to help save her community from giant existential threats like climate change. She's been chosen as a youth leader by the Tanana Chiefs Conference and other organizations. She's become an advocate for climate justice and indigenous rights. She's fighting for more Alaska Native control over fishery management. And it's a lot of pressure.
It's overwhelming, but I'm happy to do it, because if our generation doesn't do it, then there's no one to be able to get that fish back for our future. It's something that we have to do now.
One morning, Kenzie sits with her grandfather, Sonny Jonas, at his kitchen table with a cup of coffee.
There's a lot of changes around here, I'll tell you.
For years, Sonny taught kids in Gwich'aje how to fish and how to make fish wheels. If Kenzie had grown up here, or if fishing were open now, he's the one who would have taught her. Jonas has watched climate change transform the Yukon Flats just in his lifetime. Thawing permafrost has caved in houses. Summers are unrecognizably warm. He says the changes are alarming, but he sees hope in Kenzie.
Yeah, I'm glad to what she's doing right now. She's really trying to get into our culture. Yeah, and I'm really proud of her for that.
As for Kenzie, she's still learning that culture, and she's determined to keep it alive for herself and future generations. In Gwich'aje, I'm Kavitha George.
For more stories, you can check out KTOO.org.